Things are going to start happening to me now.
You've done all the reading. You're a scholar. You're a professor. You've done all the reading. You've done the intellectual heavy lifting.
More or less, eat shit and die.
You wouldn't know a fact if it begged you all night long.
Want to, like, give the wrong impression, because I am very high.
F***ing right up behind him with a hatchet. Smash, smash, smash.
Yeah. Care. I'm a libertarian. What I'm getting is,
did you vote for Joe Jorgensen or Trump?
Who?
Joe Jorgensen. That was the perfect answer. Thank you.
And welcome, everybody, to get that thing out of the Libertarian Podcast Review. This is Tyler Yonke, your host. I'm also the Tower Gang producer, so go check out that shows on Wednesdays. And, you know, at some point, I'm going to say, I had nothing to do with that show, and it's going to ruin my career, I'm sure. Look, last week, the famous JC in our chats, he's in all the libertarian-ish type of podcast chats, he said, you got to get Brad Binkley on. And I've known Brad of him. We just met tonight, but he's such a nice guy, he decided to come on. Brad, welcome to the show. Maybe I should have some good music for you, but welcome.
Your voice is music enough to my ears, and thank you, JC, for the recommendation. Somebody was asking me just last night, is JC a bot? I said, no. He listens to all the libertarian.
How do you know he's not a bot?
Maybe he is a bot. You're right. I have no idea. I could be a bot, and I don't even realize it yet.
I was thinking about him today, because that's what I do. And I'm like, he could be just the friendly Fed. He's like, I'm supposed to be in all these chats. Dude. I'm going to join up. I'm going to be nice to everybody. And he's way too involved in it. And at some point, his boss is going to say, hey,
he's
buddy.
All of our handlers.
Yeah, right. So anyway, that's where, and he's not even in the chat tonight. This is great. This is great. Bastard. So, Brad, I've known about you. I've listened to Propaganda Report, and I don't know if there's other stuff you do, Drive Time, something or other, tangentially for the last multiple years. But there's got to be maybe one person that watches or listens to this show that doesn't know who you are. So let it go.
I am
who
are you? Brad Binkley, host of the Propaganda Report podcast. I do 4 shows a week usually. I'm in the process of selling a house and moving right now, so the past month and a half or so, it's been scaled back. But I typically do about 4 shows a week of uncovering the news, and I deconstruct propaganda. I don't identify as any party. I'm most likely libertarian. That's where I kind of fall. But I just hate the bullshit, and I try and call it out as much as possible.
Excellent. So what's your background, though? Why are you doing? Is this the only thing you do? Or on the side, are you like wrangling alligators? Or what's yours?
Well, this is all I've done for since we were on the radio on WSB, since we got kicked off, or among other things, talking about Jeffrey Epstein before you were allowed to talk about Jeffrey Epstein. But yeah, been doing this pretty solid since the beginning of the pandemic. We did the podcast periodically when we were on WSB. Once the pandemic kicked in, throttled it up a little bit. And that's what I do. I do improv and stand-up comedy, mostly improv right now. But I have a theater background, television background. I went to law school, so I've kind of a combined mix there. I'm not a lawyer by any means. I don't claim to be. But law school was a very valuable thing that I try to use in the process here. But one of the reasons I really dove into propaganda years and years ago is because I was teaching stand-up comedy at a theater for 4 or 5 years. And one of the biggest obstacles that people had to performing was these illusionary boundaries that have been set by society that were just all bullshit. They were just total bullshit. But even though they were an illusion, people could not cross those boundaries. And I came to the conclusion that it was propaganda that was preventing people from doing these things because they thought they had to follow this structured path and check all these fucking boxes. But now you check all the boxes, you fall off a cliff. Yeah. We see that now. But I really dove into researching Edward Bernays. I'd always studied conspiracies and shit. I was a journalism major and an econ major in college, so I've been into it for a while, but that's when it really kicked up for me, probably around 2012.
So I also went to law school. I am a practicing attorney.
Right?
I am. That's easy on the ad hominem attacks, okay? But one thing that, law school, I think, helps, as at least my professor said, it tries to teach you to think like an attorney. And some of that is just taking both sides of this argument. Yep. And then that is very valuable. You know, I was very right wing when I went to law school. And as one of my attorneys said, especially criminal law, he's like, hey, the right wingers tend to always be the prosecutor in the case that you have, and the other ones are taking the other side. And then when I became a libertarian, I'm started like, oh, let's take both sides of this. And it's fascinating. So you had some good schooling for that, obviously.
And you have to embrace the cognitive dissonance when you do that, instead of just going with the pleasures of confirmation bias. Because the truth is often on the other side of that pain that you have to go through with cognitive dissonance. And most people avoid it. But you do learn to embrace that with the legal analysis stuff. Another thing that, like you mentioned, you have to take both sides of the argument. One of the most valuable things that I learned in law school was when you're presenting an argument to judges, you need to defeat the shit out of your own argument first.
Absolutely.
So you know that you have the right argument. And that's something that I'm going to touch on when we talk about what people are saying about Fannie Willis here in a minute. Okay. But yeah, it's a valuable skill.
So I do family law. And so what's interesting there is, instead of like a DA or a criminal defense, you're always, on that one side. I'm on both. I could be in the court two times in the same day and argue one side, and then I'm arguing the same exact thing on the other side. Yeah. And sometimes you just have shitty clients that insist, and you got to go down this path. So you're right. Sometimes it's really, you can see both. It's the John, I don't know if you ever read the John Hasness, The Myth of the Rule of Law, and he talks about this exact thing. It's an interesting little scenario that you should go through if you
have. Interesting. Anyway, I haven't read that. I'll check it out.
It's really pretty good.
One quick thing. The law school I went to two law schools. The second one I went to, same one that...
Two degrees, or did you just skip?
No, I stopped after 2 years to go move to Chicago and do Second City and shit like that. But the school that I went to in Atlanta is the same one that Nathan Wade and a bunch of these other lawyers involved in this went to.
So you're sorry, you're down there in Georgia. This is probably why this captured your imagination. I just recently did a breakdown, and it's kind of the legal thing of Leo Frank. I'm sure you've heard of the whole 1913 kills Mary Fagan in a pencil factory in Atlanta.
And I don't know the details of it, but I have heard of that story. Yeah.
Okay, well, you should. I have a playlist, and I went over it with Pete Quinones. We did a 4-part series, and I broke down, first of all, the case, and then the legal aspects, which is fascinating. So anyway, that's my connection with Georgia. That's all.
It's an interesting subject. Like, law is a very interesting thing.
Yeah, yeah. And so let's go on from here. First, I wanted to have you say a few quick things, and this, you did the State of the Union. I was checking it out last night, and by the way, that's what I heard you say, that you coach comedy, and so you already answered that question. But it's the gaslighting and the propaganda that we see from the State of the Union specifically, where these guys are lying. You do all this conspiracy stuff as well. I watched and I redid a thing, I think it was 1968, Walter Cronkite, CBS News, does a special 4-night series on the Warren Report. And they come to the conclusion that, Lee Harvey Oswald was the lone killer, da-da-da. But when they break it down, they gaslight you the whole time. They say, here's the facts, here's what it says, and then they can't prove it, and then they just jump to the conclusion. It's fantastic, and that reminds me of what was going on last night. What was your takeaway from this, Soto?
I felt like America was being fucked in the face and laughed at. It was embarrassing. To go up there and talk about how great the economy is and how we need to keep supporting Ukraine and Israel with all of our money and just all the bullshit, and not once mentioning gas prices and grocery prices. He mentioned shrinkflation because he's got a little bit that he stumbles through every time he does. That's the only reason he fucking talks about shrinkflation, is because that's the bit that he has the most command of. I guarantee that's the only reason he keeps bringing that up, because his argument's bullshit, because the reason the fucking shit is high is because of his economy. I can't go to the goddamn grocery store, excuse my language, and get a carton of milk and toilet paper for under $90. It's like an entry fee, and people might be making more money, but housing prices are up, rent is up. It's absurd, and for him to get up there and say that shit, a room full of elitists who have – probably endless amounts of gay porn from the hidden camera. That's the real January 6th footage we don't want to see, is all the gay sex that goes on from the hidden cameras inside of Congress. Those people have not been to a grocery store. They're not affected by real things like we are, and they're sitting there clapping about it. I mean, I was the whole time just like, go fuck yourself.
It was fascinating. And it's, this, the ultimate, just pushing out the lies, you can tell. But this happens with both sides. But it was
absolutely.
It was extremely excruciating. So I watched a little bit and then I tuned away. Anyway, there's that. The last thing I want to ask you before we get into the Fannie Willis stuff, which I've followed along, but I don't think I've probably followed it to the extent you have, but I watched a lot of this stuff. You were down, you helped conduct, you and Clint Russell conducted the debate, in libertarian debate in the, I don't know why you're laughing, Toad, his feet.
Yeah. He's got great feet.
Right. How was that debate? And did you come away, what was your feeling coming away from asking these guys questions?
Because I could see you seemed frustrated. I saw Toad's feet. I don't remember anything after that. Okay. I thought it was, it was a very interesting thing. I'd never done that before. I'd led a lot of mock debates with improv, and just I bring people on to play characters and stuff on the show. But it was interesting to see the way they handled, the way the candidates handled, because everybody's friends offstage, you know, sort of. I think some of them are
small
frenemies.
World.
They pretend to be friends offstage. It was funny to me, and you know, I didn't start the debate with this because I'm like, it's Dick. But maybe I should have been a dick, because I was really trying to get them to just, because I was being, I started the debate by telling them that I'm not a libertarian. I don't vote in presidential elections because I'm not choosing between a kick in the face and a punch in the balls. And you're not going to tell me I don't have a say in the conversation because you're not going to rate me into vote. My ideal solution would be nobody fucking votes at all and it invalidates their system. But I know that's not going to happen. But my point was, I am a winnable vote for any of you guys. I have not been inspired to actually vote for a president since Ron Paul. We're sitting in a bar together. If you mention Murray Rothbard or some book, I'm going to fucking kill myself. Right. Talk to me like a person. And most of them, you know, Josh did the best job of actually talking like a person. And some of the others tried, but Hornberg didn't even fucking try. But... What was interesting?
I like how you just call him Hornberg.
Hornberger, yeah. Hornberger. No, he's a nice guy, probably.
I'm sure he is, yeah.
But the dude, the cop, who seems like a nice
Mike
guy.
Termott, yeah.
Mike Termott. So Mike Termott, who, I mean, I guess, I love Mike Termott's campaign approach. You go to his website, he's like, I've got 90 libertarians on my staff, none of whom can do audio or video, because look how shitty all of my videos are.
But did you see him shooting at his wife? Did you see that video?
No, he was shooting at his wife.
So his wife's sitting by this target, and she holds something up, and then he pulls out a gun and just starts, boom, and he goes, you know, I don't know if it's
so she's
thick.
Yeah. Wow,
and
funny.
I'm
when
like,
I got
easy
to
there.
The, I got anyway, to the debate, part. I talked to every, like, we knew each other mostly from Twitter, and so I interacted with everybody, and everybody was nice, but Mike Termott was the only one who obviously had no idea that I was moderating the debate. And so I'm standing there, and I saw him, and I introduced myself to him. I was like, hey, nice to meet you. And he reacted to me like, hi, weirdo. What are you doing talking to me? And then I walked off to go to the bathroom, and my friend Josh, who we had play Trump and come interrupt the debate, he was standing there still. And after I walked off, Mike Termott goes, because the debate was 2.5 hours. I wanted it to be long on purpose because I hate the short snippets. I don't give a shit that it's longer as long as they can handle it. And he leans over to his friend, Termott does, and goes, 2.5 hours, it's stupid to have it that long. None of these other guys can last longer than 20 minutes except for me. I heard that and I was like, God, I should really open with that. And I didn't. I kind of wish I did. Say,
you know
what's,
you know why Toad didn't wear shoes? He thought they were going to be this is his strategy. He thought they were going to be standing the whole time, and he thought he would have an advantage. So he wanted he could outlast them, kind of what Termott's saying. And so he was taking his shoes off to be
thinking
comfy.
Ahead. You know, I should have asked him about the shoes.
No, that's fine. Okay, so anyway, that's there. Fannie Willis. Okay, so I've watched this, or we've talked about some stuff.
French, you know, it's nope. French, right?
I think. Let's talk about that first. Do you think this got changed for the media, or has she always been Fanny, do you think?
I think that she was named Fanny, and I think she started calling herself Fanny probably when she started acting as a lawyer because she got tired of people making sexual remarks to her. And I mean, I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong, but it just – I'm going to call her Fanny regardless of what it is.
Okay. Appreciate it. So this thing comes about. I just was talking to my law partner today about something and about dismissing opposing counsel for, you know, this weird little conflict.
Yeah.
And that doesn't mean the case goes away. It just makes it maybe you push back. That to me was what I first thought this case was, kind of, you know, a strategy by Trump people. You know, it's this conflict and we're gonna. Right. But I don't think that anymore. Okay. And so why don't you break down why this came about, some of the players, unless you want to start somewhere else.
Well, I think that's a good place to start. And I, as you can see, I brought the whiteboard out. I was telling you before, which I never do, but there's just so many angles for this story, some of which are being missed. It's good to go through these players. Fannie Willis, I never believed at all, and I still don't, that she's going to get disqualified. I believe that this is a show to make it look like our system of injustice is a system of justice, to give the illusion that they're holding their feet to the fire, to the fire, because they would be gone already. I mean, it's such a joke. They obviously have been lying and not telling the truth. You have to be completely brainwashed or propagandized not to recognize it. I mean, I've had these arguments with people on Twitter that I'm just like, they're not bots. They're people who are literally like brain damaged from the propaganda. And Fannie Willis was elected in 2021 as a Fulton County district attorney, and she ran on a campaign of, we need a district attorney who's not going to have sex with her employees. And
did she really?
There's a clip of her.
Is that a problem in Fulton County?
Fulton County is one of the most corrupt counties in the country. They've won a, like, we have every governor we have, or mayor, they like win the most corrupt politician award every other year by these international groups. It's awful there.
It's just them in Chicago.
Totally. That's a good comparison there. But the guy before her, I can't remember his name, but he got hashtag Me Too'd on the way out. And Fannie was his, so Fannie Willis, to me, is the fat black female Harvey Weinstein. That's what I think. I think this was a little bit about money, but I think her primary thing is she wanted that D, and her best way to get that D is to use her power, because she ain't exactly the most charming chick around.
No, that's true.
And so she was elected, and she had turned against her former – it made me think of Marley and Scrooge in The Christmas Carol, how they were best buds. Those two were running mates, probably – assaulting and abusing everyone in the district attorney's office, very toxic culture. And then she saw an opportunity because she's when I say she's the fat black Harvey Weinstein, except she has an advantage. She's a black female, and she can get away with more because people will scrutinize her. And we're seeing this play out right now. She turned on her best buddy. The former guy had a picture of Fannie on his wall. That's how much he appreciated her. And she was like, fuck you, I'm going to rise to power. And that's how she won, by pretending to oppose the sexual aggressions of her former boss. And she says on multiple occasions.
Was he white?
No, he's a black guy.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, like everybody.
Wow, she took
who
the stereotype of the typical black man, sexualized up. Interesting.
So, and that's another thing that I think is important to go into, is that Fannie Willis has abused black people her entire career as well, and people don't realize that she's not a good person at all.
Yeah.
But this guy she turned against, she said in her camp, this was her platform. Fulton County needs a DA who's not going to have sex with their employees and who's not going to benefit off of the public's money. She literally said that on multiple occasions, and it's on YouTube back in 2020. And here she is doing that very thing, and she don't give a fuck. She's slapping America in the face with her cock.
Her Michelle Obama cock. Okay.
Her Michelle Obama cock.
Right. Okay, so that's her. That's part. Her. Now we've got this. The whole case. It's a state case, obviously. It's not federal, which is important because if it's federal, you get a Republican. They could, save someone, you wipe their what? I don't remember what it's. Anyway, we'll get back to the words. Yeah. Commute their sentence or whatever, as the president. So. President Trump is under fire here in Georgia under the election thing. And they brought a bunch of people down, indictments. So walk us through how that case came about. First of all, it seems like to me very much like the one in New York and some of these other, they don't seem very strong.
They're like a sham. I mean, you literally have the case in New York where you have a lawyer.
Pardon, that's what I was going to say, sorry.
Yes, pardon. Who openly opposes Trump and who has his law clerk leaning in and whispering sweet nothings to him during the trial while Trump's attorneys are defending his case. I mean, it's just so crazy how much they think they can get away with. I think that's part of all of this, is a demonstration of their power, that they don't have to follow the rules and they can get away with shit. Now Fannie Willis indicted Trump down here on RICO charges. Now, that's what she specializes in. You look at her history of prosecutions – the RICO charges that she has made her name off and made her fame and her money off of. And I believe, because of what's played out here and after looking into these other cases, that every single person who's ever been convicted by Fannie Willis through these RICO charges should be able to have their case relitigated, because she is nothing but corrupt. But she brought Trump on these election interference charges, and she used the RICO statute, which allows you to just turn anything into evidence.
Yeah.
Anything. You know, that is an overt act in commission of a conspiracy. You could be tying your fucking shoe across the street, signaling to the racist Nazi up there who's supporting Trump, the MAGA hat guy is what that was, round them all up. And that's the theory of the case here. But what Fannie Willis does, and she's always done, and she's doing right now, is she doesn't play by the rule of law. She plays by the rule of the media, trial by media. She wins the media trial and then fucks over innocent people. Regardless of their, she does not discriminate based on skin color there. But the Trump case, the claim is that Trump was sending text messages and so, you know, just all these different. It's a crazy ass. Just reading that indictment alone just shows you how messed up our justice system is right now, in my opinion. And what I worry about, and I haven't voted for Trump. I think Trump's super funny, but also he pushes the vaccine a little too much for me. But still, what's going on here? I never thought he might actually get convicted in any of these things. I think that could really pop off some sort of civil conflict. But after looking into the judge and Fannie Willis and the dynamic of all the relationships of the people involved, if he does not disqualify her, and I think there's a zero chance that he does, then he will be demonstrating that Trump is going to have the most unfair show trial like in history. Because I believe that Scott McAfee, even though they say he was randomly selected, I believe he was put there to give the illusion of a bipartisan, neutral judge, because he's a white Republican that was appointed to that bench seat by Brian Kemp, the governor, when somebody else stepped down. So he didn't win. White Republicans don't win in Fulton County. And I think he was specifically put there to protect.
Isn't he up for re-election?
Yes, he's up for re-election in May, and I've been talking about this since the first day he took office. I'm like, Trump, this is not going to be a fair trial. People are going around saying he's running unelected. Yeah, he was running unelected because you couldn't officially qualify to run until 2 days ago, and as soon as that opened up, he had a challenger, just like Fannie Willis has a challenger. But Fannie Willis is the white knight in Fulton County. Right. People think there's a racist attack going on against her. And this is problem number one with Judge Scott McAfee. Judge Scott McAfee, if he disqualifies Fannie Willis, he's sacrificing his job, because he will be branded as a MAGA Trumper racist for the next 10 to 15 years. He'll probably have to move out of Fulton County. And he was appointed by Brian Kemp. So Brian Kemp, this is another interesting fact, and Fannie Willis both used to be Scott McAfee's boss. The judge prosecuting Trump used to be an underling to the prosecutor who indicted him. A little bit of a problem, I think. She wasn't the DA at the time in the district attorney's office, but she was the head of a criminal division, and he reported to her, and he donated to her district attorney campaign like $250, and he was I can't remember what his role was for Brian Kemp, but Brian Kemp. People see him as a Republican. Brian Kemp, you might notice, is on CNN now with Caitlin Collins more than Stacey Abrams is. They love Brian Kemp. And Brian Kemp, and I don't know if this is why, I just know that this is a date and time that the change happened. Up until late 2021, Brian Kemp was all about, let's do an audit of the election. Let's look into the Dominion voting machines. Which, by the way, Fulton County's government, where all this is going on, has been under the control of cyber hackers for over a month now. Their website literally doesn't work. They're in charge of the most consequential case in American history, but they're not in charge of their own government right now.
That's crazy. But that's exactly what we're talking about here, where, you know, Fannie Willis is up there when she testified saying, oh, you're trying to subvert democracy, but yet she is... completely without. I mean, she's basically a crook. So you don't get it's fascinating there. Okay,
she behaves like a mob boss.
Yeah. So I've watched a lot of the this portion of the trial, the basically trying to disqualify her or Wade, And I thought that the judge is doing a very good job. But with that in mind, that's just taking it from like a law tube type of perspective, right? Especially when I've seen a lot of these, or like the Trump one up in New York, which was, you're just like, he doesn't even have a chance. Or even the Colorado, you know, the guy overturned by the Supreme Court, you know, 9-0, which you're like, okay, so there's some semblance of non-retarded people here in judicial system.
No, he seems to be doing a good job. You're absolutely right.
But what you're saying is the mind of a propaganda report podcast. So I appreciate it. And you say 0% chance. I'm a little disappointed. Magoo asks here, he goes, could disqualify Wade and not Willis?
I think Wade is going to get thrown under the bus. And I think that Terrence Bradley, who was the only person actually trying to tell the truth and help there, even though he looked resistant. So you might have noticed, and I was kind of taken aback by this because I didn't know Terrence Bradley, which is Wade's former partner, who was the one who had the separate hearing afterwards.
Yeah.
I didn't realize this at the time, but when Fannie Willis's attorneys started bringing up the allegations against him of sexual harassment in the office, trying to smear his character, I was like, wait, why are they trying to smear his character? Then I realized that the blonde with the huge boobs who was texting with him, who filed the motion, she filed the entire motion with the help of Terrence Bradley. He helped her every step of the way. And people are like, oh, it's speculation and gossip. Like, no, it's actually not.
By the way, did you see? I'm sure you watched her testify before, like, the Georgia Senate.
I did.
I thought she was fantastic. I thought she was much better than she was as a cross examiner. And by the way, that was good. And we'll back up here a second. But that was when she was. I get what the problem was. She kind of explained it, which is she had a conversation with was it Bradley, and he helped her with this. That's the friend, the former. Partner of Wade. Partner,
the guy who kept saying it was a privileged conversation.
Right.
You can't say
And she's trying to ask him she can't be a witness. So she's trying to ask him these conversations that they had, and he's kind of backing off. And now she's like, wait, these are conversations you, okay. By the way, when you watched it on there, the camera was right up in her chest. It was fantastic.
I know.
It was
the titty
cam. It was the titty cam. I appreciate Georgia for doing that. But
I would say only that's a future money making opportunity. OnlyFans/LiveCourt.
By the way, I like that. I've been disappointed with Trump, and I'm like you. I don't have Trump derangement syndrome, but you know, not a big fan. But he's better than the Biden side. But with that, I don't think he picks great attorneys. And I think this but I think this time he has. Why don't you break down some of the people in this case? And this Ashley Merchant, I think, is the one that blew this whole thing apart, and she's actually been really good. But anyway,
it is funny how the media reports about her with the text messages and all this. It's like, look at the great lengths Trump lawyer Merchant, even though it's not his lawyer, it's another co-defendant. Look at the great lengths she went to rope Terrence Bradley into her scheme. I'm like, well, what? Terrence Bradley was pissed off about what was going on.
Absolutely.
That's why he talked. And it's interesting. And I'm a bit tangential, so if I go too far off.
I love it. Yeah. but I'll try to rein you in.
He Terrence Bradley, in the text messages, said absolutely the relationship started. And this is the whole thing about this. People have this conversation about did it start, did it not start? Obviously, it started long before 2022. 2019. I mean, he was on her transition team when she got elected. He helped. He basically ran the whole. I think the selection and the he was like the ringleader of the special. What was it with that crazy girl that they had on MSNBC? Who's like, I want to meet all of the people. You know what I'm talking about?
No,
the grand jury, the special grand jury.
Oh yeah.
That was him. Who picked that crazy bitch? Who's like, I can't wait to meet Giuliani. It's just crazy. And then he is choosing, helping her who to hire, and he's not with the DA's office during all of it. There's a – so, like, I'm trying to, like, figure out where I should go.
Why don't you do this? Okay, so this case is against Trump, and it's begin with multiple defendants, Giuliani, blah, 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 a bunch of them.
Of course.
So there's multiple attorneys in here. Why is this case stalled? What is the conflict? What is the problem? Why is Fannie, and Wade, what is the problem here that was brought to the court by Ashley Merchant?
That was a motion to disqualify, and I believe she had actually filed one before that was not accepted. And I think that she represents one of the co-defendants, maybe getting this wrong, but Fannie was actually disqualified from another part of a previous case related to this for somebody who either is or would have been a co-defendant because she was investigating somebody involved in the fake elector scheme, they call it, which is not, there's such bullshit the way they frame that. But while she was investigating this guy, she held a campaign fundraiser for his political opponent who was running for the same office as him. I mean, that's wild how abusive that is to your role in power. And so that came up in some of her testimony the other day. But the motion to disqualify that she filed with the help of Terrence Bradley is based on the idea that she hired this guy, Nathan Wade, who was a lawyer in Cobb County who doesn't prosecute federal cases. He prosecutes like so you go get a traffic ticket. He's a solicitor that helps you when you go get a traffic ticket. And so she hires this guy, pays him a lot more money despite seemingly not being as qualified. But that's a tough argument to make because, you know, you could see something in somebody, I guess you could argue.
I'm sure she did.
Yeah, I'm sure she saw something for sure. She felt something, I think. But they're saying that there's a conflict of interest in her hiring him and that she is benefiting off of the taxpayer money by paying this guy nearly $700,000 of Fulton County taxpayer dollars, and he is then funneling that money back to her in the form of gifts, vacations, and all the Baconators she can eat. Okay. And that's the charge, is the conflict of interest idea.
Yeah.
And so the law on that is what you're starting to see people get into kind of the nitty-gritty of, well, does it meet this case law? Does it meet that case law? I think that that's a worthy investigation. Like, I used to love doing that in law school and making the arguments, but I also think it's irrelevant because this is a, as I mentioned a moment ago, a trial by media that Fannie is trying to make happen. And even if she did violate it, which I'm not sure which way I would go on the argument. I mean, there's an appearance. There's definitely an appearance.
That's the standard, though. It's an appearance of impropriety or appearance of conflict.
Which is enough.
It's, by the way, they've lied, and there's so many little factors that have come out about this. Yeah, about everything. So anyway, there's...
No, you're right.
Keep going.
She made a filing today arguing that this should not be held to the standard of an appearance. And the case law says there must be an actual, you know, conflict, and that there's nothing benefiting them. Or, I mean, it is bullshit, definitely, but I don't see anybody, like, making the hard argument. If this judge was, like, good, like, my opinion is if the judge were going to throw Fannie off the case, he would have done it 3 weeks ago.
Well, okay, so I'll back up a few things, which is you see some of these high-profile cases, and sometimes the judge wants – they didn't know where they're going, and since it's going to be scrutinized – and this happens with cases they know is going to go up on appeal, right? Which is you're going to cross the I's – what is it? Dot the I's, cross the T's, and you're going to make sure it's all perfectly fine. I don't even remember the case. I'm trying to remember the guy's name now. He ran over a bunch of people in Wisconsin – for the parade, and they had his and he was represented himself. He was one of these guys that what's the word now? Anyway, he was crazy, and the judge gave him way a lot of leeway. But at some point, he was so crazy, she put him in a separate room by Zoom. But she needed to make sure that even though he's just, you know, stone cold guilty, that on appeal, it's not going to be a problem. Could that be the case, or is this guy just blowing smoke?
You know, I want to be proven wrong about this. I would love for him to rule against her. He will lose his job there. He will be branded a racist. I think he is just putting on a show to make it look like her feet have been held to the fire, because you're already going to have half of the people watching this, regardless of the outcome, say that she was targeted by racist. And it's already tainted for many of those people. And I think that he is just trying to give them that ammo to say, it was a Republican judge who deliberated, who brought her up, who shouldn't even brought her. Because this is one of the arguments. She doesn't even need to be testifying. There doesn't even need to be a hearing about disqualification because there is nothing there. And one of the other reasons, which I mentioned a moment ago, but the Brian Kemp, who appointed him, in December of 2021, his daughter's boyfriend got into a car accident and died. And it was a weird story. When that first happened, I did not indulge in all of the conspiracies. I listened, but I'm like, I don't know if I'm going to go there yet, that he was killed is what some people were suggesting. And I still don't know if that were the case. There was some nefarious act that happened. But what I do know is that immediately after that, Brian Kemp went from supporting investigating the 2020 election to being the biggest opposition to doing any investigation into the 2020 election, to the point of this year, voter GA, Garland Favrito, who's done the best work, still has open cases, has had so many cases thrown out because a period was put in the wrong place, you know, or the font was wrong. They had tickets to a fish fry for the GOP here in Perry, Georgia. They have every year. They'd already bought their tickets, and they showed up, and when they got there, they were told, because Brian Kemp was there, they were told that they cannot come in with voter integrity shirts on, which means that they questioned the election. Then they either had to turn their shirts inside out, change their shirts, or leave because Brian Kemp was not letting them into this thing. They had security guards. So Brian Kemp eventually left, and then they were allowed to come in. But Brian Kemp, by hiring this judge, makes it look like it's balanced. But Brian Kemp is on the same side as Fannie Willis here, despite the fact that he's a Republican governor. And I think that judge was strategically put there by him to protect her.
Interesting. Oh, let's do a little correction. So Magoo says Daryl Brooks was his name, and he was a sovereign citizen. I don't know if you looked into them. Fascinating people.
Yeah, interesting.
Force Mommy says, thanks for doing all the work we're doing on this. Yeah, yeah, of course. Okay, so what are some of the problems that Fannie and Wade have gotten themselves into? Do you think, and I know there was just an ethics board that said, oh, they don't have any jurisdiction because she's a constitutional official, which I think is questionable. They're lying on the stand. It's obvious. Do you think, and what are some of the problems that they've done? Some of the seedy little things, if you can get into that. And by the way, did you know her dad is a former Black Panther?
I have some congressional documents with her dad's name. I've got some artifacts to show you here at some point if we have time that I brought.
Do your thing, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So let me start. I don't ever do the Scott Adams. I'm going to bring out the whiteboard today. I had the best predictions during COVID.
Let me ask you a question before you get there. You know, people have questioned voting since, you know, it's happened, right? I mean, was it 68 in Chicago? You know, there's the thing Nixon could have pushed back against, you know, voting, da, da, da. Why is this one so much more, you know, you can't touch it. If you say it, you're going to get booted off of, you know, maybe we'll be kicked off of YouTube or whatnot here. But why is it because of January 6th?
Yes, it's because of January. It's because you're an insurrectionist if you question the election. I'm sure you have. I've had so many videos blocked and hanging out at improv theaters. It is a little bit crazy. Most people are actually, when you talk about normal things, normal and cool. I think the internet makes people, the internet tries to manifest the extremeness, which it does sometimes, but people do. They just have this knee-jerk reaction of, he's an insurrectionist. I'm like, there's actually a federal insurrectionist law.
Yeah.
There's no trial that's happened here. And it's all because of January 6th. It reminds me of the Hillary Clinton bucket of deplorables or whatever thing. It's a way to marginalize votes and divide and conquer people.
Okay.
Yeah. But they can actually round people up at this point the way they've done with January 6th. And you see Fannie Willis at the beginning of that hearing, you watched it, say, they tried to steal an election. They tried to steal. It's just crazy. This is the show she puts on because she doesn't give a shit about the law. So here, let's do the circle of Fannie, because there's a little bit more to Nathan Wade I discovered than meets the eye. Nathan Wade isn't just a guy who had a really hot wife and decided to start plowing a fat chick to get ahead in his career. He's actually a guy who's been plowing multiple fat chicks to get ahead in his career before he even met Fannie.
Wait. So you're telling me I needed to have plowed fat chicks rather than a hot, skinny...
Yeah, you gotta go whaling for your dinner, dude. Okay. I guess
the Black community is different. Okay,
are you familiar with Sonia... what's her name? Sonia Allen?
Let's
do the chart here.
Please. I'm excited about this.
I'm excited to try this too and get my black pen out because he's got a black penis, I'm sure. So here's what we have here. We got...
If you start drawing phallics on there, we're in trouble.
Well, don't get ahead of me here. We got Nathan Wade right here. So Nathan Wade worked in Cobb County. Okay. Before he worked in for Fannie, right? And when he was in Cobb County, he got this job in Cobb County by working for this woman named Sonia Allen, who is a progressive activist who has helped Stacey Abrams, who went to the same sorority as all the Divine Nine black Illuminati people, just like Fannie Willis, just like everybody else involved in this case. And so she hired this guy, and guess what? Nathan Wade was banging her, too. She's, like, in her 60s.
Now, he was married this whole time.
Yeah, he's married the whole time.
And well, did the marriage – is the marriage the what caused this, really, the big – how it came about?
It's his hot wife's fault.
Oh, she was hot. She wasn't fat. Okay.
No, his
– No, the divorce, right?
They just – he signed the divorce – or he filed the divorce papers the day after Fannie Willis hired him to be the prosecutor on the case. And he is officially divorced now. I believe they settled in court. But I share this photo of a side-by-side of his ex-wife and Fannie Willis every now and then on Twitter, because his ex-wife is like 5'7", 115, like smoking hot. And a man doesn't just go from a 10 to a potato, is my point, unless you're getting a benefit. And that's why I think a little bit of the trade-off here is give me that D, I give you the opportunity of your career. We both make a little bit of money. I get all the Baconators I want in the process. Thank you, Fulton County taxpayers. I think that was a little bit of the process there. But so, yeah, Sonia Allen, who is like 60 years old, as I said, and they're all in these same progressive circles. They all – their family members are from the Black Panthers or from the what's that other group that John Lewis was in where they changed the name? It's like an offshoot of the Black Panthers. I can't remember. But they all – like Jesse Smollett's parents were part of this group. Jesse Smollett and his sisters ran around with him as a kid. Stacey Abrams' parents were part of this group. All of these people have the same childhood. It's wild. And they're being propped up now. So you have Sonia Allen, who was running the sheriff's office at the time. This is in 2020.
In Fulton County.
This is Cobb County.
That's right.
This is right before he got hired by Fannie. So 2020, you have Sonia and you have Wade here. You might see where I'm going with this a little bit here. Now, from the work they did here, which I'll give you the specifics of in a second, they both got hired and now work for Fannie Willis. Like, he was plowing her, but now they're both working for her. She was given a job in 2021 when Fannie, she gets elected in 2021, and she hires Sonia to be the head of her anti-corruption unit, right? So Sonia's like, I'm going to go from Cobb County here all the way up to Fulton County. And then Nathan Wade, he became the transition person. He became the person who helped her hire. And then he was officially hired as a special prosecutor in 2021.
This picture.
And right, you know, there's his journey, there's her journey, and you have this meeting up here at Fulton County of all of these people. Now, what did they do to earn this new job in Fulton County? Well, when Nathan Wade worked for Sonia Allen, I got to show you a picture of her. I'll find one in a second. What she hired him to do, and this is from. This is from the blonde, Ashley, we were just talking about. She mentioned this in her testimony, so I started looking it up. There were some deaths in the Cobb County jail, and the families of the inmates that died were trying to use open records requests to find out what happened to their family members. And what Sonia Allen, who now leads the anti-corruption department.
Is that her?
That's, I think, an old picture of her.
All right, we'll find it.
Type in Sonia Allen, Fulton County or Cobb County, and you'll see she has, like, gray hair. I mean, seriously, it starts to make you think maybe Fannie's not so bad when you see where he went. But these people were trying to find out why their family member died in the custody of the Cobb County police. And so what Sonia Allen did was she hired Nathan Wade to investigate what happened to these inmates. But here's the thing. They knew what happened to the inmates because there was videotape of what happened to the inmates. So the reason that she hired, and they were sued for this, and a lot of this came out in testimony, she hired him to get around the Open Records Request Act by having an open investigation going on so they could prevent the family members from getting the recordings that would tell them what really happened to their families. She hired him under the guise of an investigation to cover something up, right? And what happens next? They both get a promotion to Fulton County. She's the anti-corruption person. I mean, that's kind of crazy just in and of itself.
Yeah.
Like, Fandy looked at them and said, great job covering that shit up and destroying those families. Come be my head of anti-corruption. You come give me that D. I mean, maybe they're having a throuple. I don't know. There's like dirty three ways. It's a Wade sandwich. I don't even want to imagine that. But that's how he
There's
got
no
up there.
Bed that's holding those three.
God, talk about, like, if I were a bed maker and I could hold those three, that'd be my advertisement. Look at these people fuck on my bed. It doesn't even shake.
Right.
So I apologize. I'll make a lot of dick jokes if it'll rain myself sometimes.
It's encouraged here, please.
Yes. So that is his background. So this isn't the first time that he's done this. And when you look at this case, what is going on here, in my opinion, with this overall disqualification hearing, is the illusion of an investigation for the purpose of covering up the funneling the Fulton County money to all the Baconators and the Trips and the inappropriate relationship that they opened. I mean, the whole indictment's inappropriate. If we really want to go back, the whole indictment shouldn't exist. So they're all making millions of dollars eventually off of a bullshit violation of our justice system that people support because they hate Trump.
Well, and by the way, Ashley Merchant, when she was testifying, because, you know, there was one senator that was pushing back on her on this. And her point is that if you're doing this like you normally would, which is you go after Trump and a few people, you have a very short trial, maybe six weeks. This is so many people. And her guy specifically, there was a special grand jury. He wasn't indicted. There was another grand jury. Then I think that's where he got brought in. It's all these tangential people that it now gives a trial of a year. And Mr. Wade now gets to collect millions of dollars, essentially.
Right. And she gets to run for office again on how she's sticking it to Trump.
Yeah. Yeah.
Meanwhile, you know, the judge, I hope the judge proves me wrong. I challenge him to not be a pussy here and sacrifice his job, because you don't want that fucking job in Fulton County. It's so corrupt. But you have Nathan Wade, when he was on the stand testifying in this lawsuit about why she hired him and where he was paid, according to Ashley, $550 an hour in Cobb County to cover up this, what we're talking about. I mean, isn't that correct? $550 an hour. And when they asked him on the stand, do you have an itemized report or any documents that shows what you spent the money you were paid on, what you spent your time doing? He said, no, it's all in his head. You know, kind of like Fannie Willis's cash.
By the way, there's so many little ethics problems of these two. From an attorney perspective, of the billing of how he did it. At one point, it's a 24-hour period. It's insane. And, you know, normal people would be brought up on ethics charges of this, but we'll see what happens. Okay, so anyway.
Right, and that's my point. Nathan Wade and Fannie.
You said Cock County?
Cock County. And what this represents to me is,
here we go.
Is you have the American people getting jizzed on their face and slapped with a dick by how obviously corrupt and bullshit this is. And no, it's just like the reason that they can get away with it is because the propaganda mechanism of the mainstream media and social media can brainwash enough people to blindly defend something that would fuck them over in a second if they found themselves in the wrong situation.
By the way, that's so true. You've got a problem here. You know, the criminal side. I had one of my friends that used to do criminal work, and then he quit because he's like, for the most part, the DAs are paid by the state. A lot of the criminal defense attorneys are paid by the state. You know, the PD, the public defenders, the judge is paid by the state. You're like screwed up in all of this. And, you know, you look back at the OJ Simpson, you're like, oh, look, he had all this money and he got off. You know what? You know, the city of Los Angeles spent, I think, 3, 4, 5 times more than he did. And imagine if you don't have that money, you can be railroaded very easily by a DA like this.
So. Absolutely. You have no chance. And to really put this in perspective, Judge McAfee, in order to disqualify Fannie, is going to have to sacrifice his job, knowingly do something that will get him branded a MAGA racist for a period of years. And he would have to betray the trust of two of his former bosses, the governor of Georgia and Fannie Willis. I mean, and if he actually does that, I'm all for it, man. I'll support you. But that's a large hill to climb to expect this guy to do, especially as a 32-year-old first-time judge who just got this position of power last year.
Yeah, 32. I didn't realize that.
Yeah. Okay. Right. So I think that's all with that little demonstration there. But what? So here's why I suspect, and this is getting conspiratorial, why I suspect a little bit of sabotage, or maybe not sabotage, but just we want it to look like we're investigating because we know it's fucked up, but we don't actually want to have Fannie Willis thrown out. We'll screw over Terrence Bradley and Nathan Wade, but Fannie needs to stay. They would actually have to, like, remove the whole office. And I think they would need to investigate all of her previous prosecutions if they did remove her. So what is going on? Like, there was a filing yesterday by, like, the AAF to the Georgia the bar, to try and, get Wade and Fannie removed from the bar. And in the complaint, the argument was that Nathan Wade lied under oath. And somebody lied under oath. Either Yurti did, who said that it started early, or Nathan Wade and Fannie did, and her father. I loved how her father, when he's testifying, could remember the specific details of something 25 years ago, but when he was asked, was your daughter there when you were briefed on what's going on in the trial, which had literally happened about 3 hours earlier in that day, he couldn't recall if his own daughter was there.
By the way, let me ask you this. When I saw him testify, the first thing I thought of was bullshit about him saying swastikas and the N-word put on their house.
Yeah.
Do you believe? And by the way, has anybody looked to see if those he actually reported those to police?
No, of course. I mean, there's no. You're right. They can say that shit, and people, because they're afraid you're racist, if you question it. It's like questioning atrocity propaganda. Did the baby really get its head cut off? And they're like,
yeah.
People scream at you, and they use that extreme. And you saw Fannie Willis do a similar thing at the church when she started talking about why are they going after the black one? Because you're fucking him, Fannie.
Let me ask you about that, because I've been very interested how, I guess maybe Ashley Merchant herself has really pushed that aspect of it, which is she has no problems calling out, you know, going to the church and saying that Fannie is, fanning the flames of racial flames.
Fanning,
and I'm like,
the flames, yeah.
And I'm like, oh, that's a little interesting in this jurisdiction that she's really pushing that. What do you think about the aspect that side is just like no holds barred? I'm just going for it all.
They're pure identity politics all the time. She is like a Stacey Abrams mini me. That's not many to most of us, but that is what they do. That's how they have progressed in their career. You take away identity politics, and she is nowhere. Stacey Abrams is nowhere. People think Stacey Abrams is trying to help. They think they're trying to get rid of racism. No, Stacey Abrams, Fannie Willis, they need racism. They need people to think Nazis are walking around.
Look, I talked about this a few weeks ago. This was my thumbnail for the show. Do you think this was a racial divisive? Okay.
No, I used to love that chick, though, that you had.
Yeah, well, that's perfectly fine. I was more on the Worf side, actually, but
Worf, blackface Worf. Worf is black, though, right?
He was black, yeah. Okay, sorry. Let's get to more drawing of cocks.
No, I can draw plenty of. That's not the best cock I've ever drawn, you know.
Okay.
So let me see who I've gotten to. We have Fannie with the RICO. We have Nathan Wade. We have his backer. So Nathan Wade and Fannie's, their skill set is in doing things that are untrackable, untraceable with money and with details of work and getting away with cover-ups. That is their background, right? So that is one of the reasons I believe they're on this case. And you have people, this is something that people need to stop doing, in my opinion. There's a lot of mainstream media commentators, and which has resulted in a lot of people on social media. Mike Cernovich, I saw, was sharing this. Tim Pool was sharing it, where they are saying, oh my God, Fannie Willis just admitted to campaign finance fraud in the hearing. Did she even know what she did? And then they share like a 20-second video. This was a six-hour hearing, right? They share a 20-second video. And when I saw that, I was like, oh, no, because what has happened since is, and this even happened in this AFF filing to get them disbarred, they argued that Nathan Wade was lying, but instead of arguing that Fannie Willis is lying, which is at the very least not disprovable, their main argument was that she admitted to campaign finance fraud, which is a easily disprovable claim that will guarantee to fail and possibly jeopardize. So that's why I think it's like they want it to look like they're going after her, but then they lead with an argument that they know is going to fail, because if you scroll it back here, and I have a clip. You want me to share the clip?
Yeah, please.
So Fannie Willis, I'm not saying she hasn't committed campaign finance fraud. I'm saying she never admitted to doing that during that hearing. And by leading with that disprovable argument, to me, it's the same thing as someone walking up to you and saying, yeah, Trump told people to inject bleach. And I go, well, but wait a minute. I can play this clip. and show you that he didn't. And now I don't believe anything else you say, even if it's credible. You know what I mean?
By the way, I love you right now. I give you a big hug because this is part of my problem with a lot of people. When they present something and you're like, I'm on your side. And then they present something that's so provably false. You go, what else are you lying about? It's so easily. Yeah. Okay. You want me to add this?
Some of the lawyers are going with that. Like this guy, Megyn Kelly. So here she is. I mean, she's so charming. Just look at her. I think this is the first one that she said that was being shared around where people were using it to say she committed the campaign finance fraud.
But I always have cash at the house. That has been, I don't know, all my life. If you're a woman and you go on a date with a man, you better have $200 in your pocket. So if that
I just want to pause it there. I love how she's actually describing the very thing her father used to do to stay away from the police when he was active in the Communist Party.
Well, and she said, I'll go. Go ahead.
You can go where you want to go. So I keep cash in my house, and I don't keep cash as good in my purse like I used to. I don't go on many dates, but
and so she's so people are like she's stupid. I'm like, no, she's not. She's intentionally filibustering to prevent questions from being asked. Is what she's doing. She's actually.
By the way, when I played some of this on the show, and I thought it was fascinating. So you know, as an attorney, and you probably understand this, which is I tell my clients when you're testifying, especially on cross, you're a piano. When someone pushes a note, I only want to hear that note. I don't want to hear a song. Yeah. And she could not help but just filibuster and talk. Now, sometimes I don't object when opposing parties are doing this because you're getting more info than I just want the answer. And she was giving everything else, but she was telling a good story. And sometimes that's good for your case. Anyway, go ahead.
And she's so arrogant. She thinks it doesn't matter. Yeah. Did you see the part where at one point someone goes, Judge, they were trying to bring up evidence. And Fannie Willis goes, yes, you may. And then she goes and looks over and then he goes, oh, yeah, you may. He just totally cucked them out.
Yeah. Yeah.
When you go on a date, you should have cash in your pocket.
So my question was, where did that cash originally come from? If it didn't come out of the bank?
Cash is fungible. Well, I've had cash for years in my house. So for me to tell you the source of when it comes from, when you go to Publix and you buy something, you get $50, you throw it in there. It's been my whole life. When I took out a large amount of money on my first campaign, I kept some of the cash of that.
That right there. So that's basically the clip that you get. And people, they say that. And I can see maybe in isolation, you might go, oh, wow. But then, let me see.
Now, how good are you on campaign finance law?
Well, I learned enough about it to know that when your campaign is self-financed and it's all your money, then at least in this case.
Is that what it was?
Yes.
So, okay.
And that's what she's... And this was why I was so frustrated with this, because I watched the whole hearing. She probably mentioned her first campaign a dozen times and how she was pissed off that she self-financed it and spent $50,000 that she feels like is gone because she lost. And that is what she was talking about. And if you see the connections watching it and you hear the other clips, you go, oh. Now, like I said, she's probably committed campaign. I mean, she's a corrupt person, but that's not what she was admitting to. And when you can play.
And let me go. So hang on. So someone files a brief mentioning this. The problem I would have if I was that person filing it, I'd be like, okay, well, first of all, I'm going to cite what the campaign finance law is, what she can do. And then I'm going to say, oh, she took this out, showing that, you know, this is how you do it. And if you don't. You're setting yourself up to be, and you know what? I'm going back to the elections. This is a problem with Trump and a lot of the lawsuits that happened after the fact, which was a lot of them were not done correctly. And that really, you know, the Kraken and all this other stuff, you know, we had I don't know. Okay. I don't want to get into that, but anyway, keep going.
I asked Garland Favrito because Garland, not to go too off on tangent, but I've known Garland since 2017. He used to come on WSB and he was investigating election integrity. And at one point he was saying John Ossoff actually beat Karen Handel. John Ossoff is a Democrat whose dad's like a communist. And so he's not biased, but then he started to blow up during 2020. He went from like 1,000 followers to like 20,000. He's like speaking at Trump rallies. I asked Garland, I said, Garland, you're getting huge now. Are you worried that someone will come in and start sabotaging some of this stuff? And at first, he didn't seem worried. But then a little bit later, it was like, there were some people who kind of fucked some shit up. And I think anytime you start to get that level of influence, you're going to have a subversive people try and infiltrate and target. And so the rest of this clip here, you'll hear her say the shit about this is her self-funded
Which
campaign.
Job it came from? Did it come from Fulton County or did it come from a private job?
It came from, what are you talking about? So it could have come from a private job because before I was DA, I was in private practice. So I earned money during that time period that's probably in there.
You don't
it
know
could
what?
Have, so that yes. money ended up being lost. And I know when you bet on yourself, you're going to have to bet money on yourself. And so what I was talking about was not wanting to go through the personal financial expense of running for office. By no means did I think that I was going to be financially in a bad position once I won. Let's talk about what I was up against because it's important to understand that comment. I had a district attorney who had been here for 24 years.
And Judge, people, no, this is
it's very relevant
questions.
As to what my mindset was she's about this. So I'm trying to answer your question. It's so what I was saying is I
tailored solely to finances.
Right, but it is about
she's
my finances.
About
if I didn't yeah. nobody put me in this seat. So I had already run for office once. I had spent $50,000 of my own money running and it was vamoose, nothing.
She mentions this like six times and this is what she's talking about.
Yeah, great point. By the way, we have to cut in here a little bit. JC's in. He says, "Oh my God,
hi,
Brad."
JC. Yeah, hey.
There you go. The man, the myth, the guy, the matchmaker, in a sense.
Yeah.
So perfectly good. And by the way, this is I do give credit to the Ashley Merchant. Once again, seeing her and testifying, they're asking her about all these financial things, and she's like, "I've only put in here what I can prove."
Yeah.
Like as she goes, I didn't put Uber rides because I don't know if Fani was, you know, sitting next to him. So I thought for her, she did the thing that worked exactly what we're talking about. Don't fuck yourself over.
Right. And you mentioned it a moment ago. If you're going to make this claim, have the statute ready so you can point to it. I mean, this is what you learn in law school, but it's put out there. Like I saw. So the tweet that Cernovich put out had like 3 million impressions. I don't know how many views the video had, but then you have Tim Kast. I'm like, man, all of these people who are so eager. I want to see her disqualified as well.
Yeah.
But you see that snippet, and then you see somebody who you consider, like Cernovich is a lawyer, and you consider to be an authoritative figure, and it triggers that confirmation bias, and all of a sudden, she committed campaign finance fraud, which makes all of the people who might agree with you think that you're full of shit, just like when someone says Trump said to inject bleach, because you can disprove it easily.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
And the thing about this case that a lot of people don't realize is there's actually an opportunity to bring people who have completely opposing views together. Because Fannie Willis, before she began fucking over Trump and his co-defendants, fucked over a bunch of African-American public school teachers in Atlanta, Georgia, with a public school cheating scandal, which because I fell for the propaganda, I remember this case happening here. This was during the with No Child Left Behind, so they were incentivizing states to cheat, and they were so Georgia actually got like $11 million because of the increased scores that some of the teachers adjusted, and they kept it, but then they prosecuted some of the teachers, except they didn't put the ones who did it in jail. What happened was Fannie Willis was the lead prosecutor on this case, and she did an abusive plea deal. An abusive towards the people who didn't accept it. And she went to the guilty people and she said, as long as you plead guilty and then just pick somebody and say that they did it, you get no time in jail and you get to walk free and we won't bother you anymore. And what happened is that these people, the couple of people at the top who did adjust some of the scores, pointed to some elementary school teachers in Fulton County. And the problem with that was there was no incentive for elementary school teachers to cheat because they didn't get any financial benefit. The financial benefit only applied to high school and middle school. Wow. I think they got there was no fucking reason for them to change the test scores. And there was zero evidence that they did. But because they were pointed to and because they refused to take Fannie Willis's, you need to say you're guilty or I'm going to fuck you, they have been caught up in legal appeals. They've lost their license to teach, and their lives and their finances have been ruined for the past 9 years. They're still involved in this case. There's a book written about it by one of these ladies. I want to show you an article. And I think it's important to see this because people get Trump derangement syndrome, but when you are affected by the corruption of somebody personally, you can see past the divide and conquer identity politics shit for what it is. And what you have is this, it's called the Black Agenda Report. And it is it's a publication that's written a lot about Fannie Willis. And they do not they don't like Trump. Let's make that clear. They are not Trump fans at all. But here's an article here from 2023 in August. Atlanta prosecutor Fannie Willis sent black educators to jail. So only one of the teachers was white in all of this. And there's a couple, like a comment here. They talk about the process, that she has made her name off of over prosecuting RICO cases. You know, like that's her thing by being.
By the way, I'm sorry. I saw on your board you have Kamala Harris behind you. I think she. Oh, I live in California. Do you?
No, I don't. This story just goes so deep.
Oh, but I'm just saying, I'm in California. She used to be, you know, the AG out here, she is. My point is, she's corrupt. She's exactly like Fannie Willis. Fannie's going to be VP someday. Fuck.
You might be right. This is black Illuminati shit, dude. I'm being serious. Like, there was a story about Kamala Harris, this guy Brandon Keel, who worked in her office in 2015, who got arrested because him and his two buddies, this other guy who called himself the Grand Master, wore weird shit, has a bunch of pictures with the fucking Clintons. They went around all these police precincts saying, we are descendants of the Knights Templar. We are Masonic. Freemasons, black Freemasons, and we have district over your police precinct and 33 police precincts in the country and also Mexico, and they drove around in police cars and they wore fucking police uniforms and they got access and meetings with all these police chiefs because this guy who worked for Kamala used his Kamala badge to get in the door, and they were all fucking arrested, and Kamala's never mentioned a word about it. And you know what happened to one of the guys? One of the guys you haven't heard from since. He just kind of disappeared. Another of the guys who made a bunch of weird fucking YouTube videos, which I have all of them, saying that there's a hit that has been put out on him and they're going to kill him. The day before his first fucking court appearance, he dropped dead. Nobody mentions that ever, right? And so I thought that shit was all fucking crazy until I started looking into this Fannie Willis shit and the connections to Kamala, who they both went to Howard University, both in the same the sorority, although she doesn't confirm it, but I found some black YouTube chicks who were from the same sorority who credibly say that she is in it. And she's been supported in her entire fucking career by these Divine Nine, which the Divine Nine are the HBCU black sororities and fraternities that are the pool that the Skull and Bones from Yale had a black person infiltrate so they could find front men and women, you know, the actual black faces of white nationalism and racism.
Right.
You know what I mean? And so that's like the story behind all of this. And then I started looking at Fannie Willis's district attorney office since she got hired. And I've gone through like maybe 100 employees so far, and about 60% of them are Fannie Willis hires, who are all members of the Divine Nine, black fraternity and sorority, a black Freemason, Illuminati. I can't remember the actual name they call it. This isn't my language. These are like, I've been watching a lot of people who defected from these groups talk about it on YouTube and how demonic they believe that it is. And I'm like, holy shit, maybe this shit from Kamala Harris and these weirdos who, it was wild, dude, because this guy dressed like a fucking clown, but you'd see him like he was an Emmy-winning producer. He's also in the HBU Divine Nine shit. He's got his arm around Bill Clinton. What's the old black lady from Chicago, I think, the senator? I can't remember her name.
Black lady from Chicago I think of is Oprah Winfrey, but
Oprah, yeah, no, you would know who I'm talking about. They gave all these people awards and shit. And so Kamala Harris had this party last year in February for Black History Month at her house with her pretend husband, the gay Jewish lawyer.
right.
Mama Kamala. Kamala got married, and she's so maternal. The fucking kids were all adults when she got married, okay? She's not a mom.
No. Right?
But she has this party. You never see her gay husband there at all, but it was a party for all the HBCU Divine Nine fraternities at her house to celebrate Black History Month that Fannie Willis was invited to and was at before the indictment. She went to a fucking party at Kamala Harris's house.
Let's talk about that, because that's another one of these things. I saw Viva Fry talking about, like, oh, she said she never went to the White House. You know, there's logs of her going to the White House, but I think it was Kamala's house.
Yep.
Not the White House. So once
again. Yeah, and okay, you watch the videos of that, you see, I'm not judging people who are in fraternities. You have fraternities at schools. I'm not going to say white fraternities because there's a multiple races in the fraternities like at my school, maybe not the KAs, but that's what fraternities do. They help people who are in their fraternities get jobs and shit, so I understand that. But also, it's kind of a little weird that every guy, including her ex-husband, which nobody fucking talks about, right? I don't know why nobody asked about Fred Willis Jr., her ex-husband. Let me show you something, man. I'm a little tangential, but I think that you're going to like this here. This is the weirdest shit to me. Can you see that on the screen?
Yeah.
So Fannie Willis, let's look at her personal thing. Let's look how scant the information is about her personal life. It's like two sentences. On the day she took the Georgia bar exam, Willis met Fred Willis, who was working an extra job as a videographer. They married in 1996 and have two daughters. They divorced in 2005. Willis said that she was in a relationship with Nathan Wade until 2023, so they just changed that one. So it's like she got it. First of all, she got married, no details about the marriage or the divorce, and then she took 14, 15 years off from dating Nathan Wade.
Boom. Yeah.
So this is why this is relevant, in my opinion. She obviously has had the internet wiped. She has a company that the Fulton County taxpayers have paid for called, I have it right here.
Is that what Ashley Merchant was talking about as well?
Okay. Yeah, right. Critical Mentions, which monitors her. It's one of those, like, you can make a lot of money if you can clean up somebody's internet image. And so she's hired one of those companies.
I'm going to need that, yeah.
Yeah, me too. But, like, she's obviously covered up the details of her divorce and her relationship with her ex-husband, who, by the way, was, like, 40 when they got married and she was 25. So it's a relevant question. Was there an affair involved? Was he married when you guys first hooked up? Was there an affair involved when you guys got divorced? What are the details about any of this? Were you covering something up? Because a major part of the allegation here is that her and Wade were fucking hiding it. This shows a pattern of behavior, and nobody asked a question about it.
Hmm.
And get
well, now I'll just say this. By the way, if you're in court at Ashley Merchant or any of these other attorneys, that question is not going
to
be allowed.
No. They'll object to it, obviously.
But the media and could definitely be asking these questions. So
right. So, but like, if I'm in court there, knowing that there's going to be an objection, I say it to get it on camera.
Yeah. There's no jury here, right? So, you know, why not?
It's totally up to the dude. And so this is why I say if he doesn't disqualify her when she should obviously be disqualified, then you know that this is going to be a fucked up case. Because in my opinion, the conflict of interest is with the judge, and he should recuse himself.
But then who's the next judge? I mean, that's the problem you have here. You know, I've had clients who they want to have a judge disqualified, and I'm like, it's risky because that judge decides, you know, typically when we have bench trials or whatnot, and now you've just put in before him that you think he's biased. Now you're in a worse situation. Careful.
No, right.
But who's the next judge that comes in? It may be someone worse. So.
That's the problem with Fulton County. It's so bad. Just a little timeline thing, and I don't know what the connection is here, but I just found it odd because it took me a long time to find anything about her ex-husband. And in fact, what you find when you look up her ex-husband, this is what you find.
So Shaq.
It says Fannie Willis' ex-husband, Fred Willis. And this is what it says. And it's Fannie Willis and Shaquille O'Neal.
Yeah, I was going to say that her husband was a Lakers star. Okay.
Shaquille O'Neal stole Fred Willis' identity and has been pretending to be him. That's how little information there is about him. But I actually found his LinkedIn page, which is like the only thing I could find. And so they get married in 96, right? And he was just doing a side job as a videographer, which is a weird story. And what was he roaming around the halls of the bar exam building? Which
especially 1996. What are you doing as a videographer back then?
Absolutely. I think most people, when they walk out of the bar exam, they see some creepy dude who's 40 with a camera. They go, that's a weirdo.
Right.
But Fanny's like, what Fanny actually says in a Time magazine interview is she says, he had nice legs and he gave me two children. That's the only thing she ever said about it. So he fucked her with his legs, got her pregnant, and that was that. But in 1997, a year after they got married, after just being a casual videographer, he got a job at the CDC as their head of like videography, of the conferencing. And he worked there for 3 years. And then after working there for 3 years, he got a job at the World Bank of Atlanta, where he was a cinematographer for 7 years until shortly after they got divorced. And then he skipped town. He's gone. It's weird.
So just pull a string real quick here. What do you think? What's his point? Have you done this digging?
I think that Kamala and her father have connections. They've worked in government their entire lives, and I think they probably got him a government job. On his resume, he has no other government jobs before or after, except for the time he was with Fannie. I think she pulled some strings, got him some credibility. He now does managing at a resort in San Diego. I'm sure she never lets his children see him, if I had to guess.
Well, I think, aren't they adult children now?
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, adult. They're adult. One of them failed out of an HBCU, apparently, after Nathan Wade helped him move them in. Which is wild that, talking to people on Twitter, this is what one person said. They were going, so I got suspended for 48 hours because the AJC was hearing proves that the Republicans' top witness, Terrence Bradley, is fails, because it was just the opposite of what happened, the gaslighting we were talking about. And so I shared it, and I said, and then buried deep in the article, because I know you're only going to read the headlines, it says that Terrence Wade actually sent all these text messages and he helped actually create the filing. And so I shared that, and these people were like, I'm sure that a text message is subject to being under oath and perjury. I'm like, oh, you think that that's, and they told me he was gossiping. They just repeated MSNBC talking points. And then one of them even said, I haven't really been paying attention to it, but this is what I understand. And then when I said to him, I said, just go watch it yourself. I said, don't believe me. Don't believe the AJC's stupid fucking headline. Go watch it yourself. Watch his body language. Listen to what he says and make your own decision. And his reply to me was, oh, so I see. You don't listen to the facts. You just watch their body language. People are brainwashed.
Yeah. By the way, you're right. That text message isn't under oath. But what you get to do is they testify, and then you bring this text message and you say, you formally said this, and you're impeaching their testimony now. Which one is correct? You're saying something now. This is what you said contemporaneously at the time. What do we have now? So anyway,
that's... And who's Yurty? And Yurty said that they had, that was her best friend. That's where they were hooking up. Yurty said it started before. And this is all the details of it. I'm like, yes, it's so obvious that they were having the relationship before. This is why I'm he would have gotten rid of it. I think it's a show. But there's the levels of control that I'm just now discovering. There's a mural of Stacey Abrams in Castleberry Hill in Atlanta. My sister lives down there, and I drove down one day. And I'm like, is that Stacey Abrams on the side of a giant fuck? I mean, it's almost as big as actual Stacey Abrams. But it's just wild. And Stacey Abrams is a grifter. Stacey Abrams grew up performing in front of prisons and busking on the street because her father taught them to do that.
I got to ask you, so where is this mural? Where in town? And I could only imagine it's your form of the way to keep the homeless away, because no one's, you don't see some homeless guy jerking off, and he looks up there and he's like, sorry.
It's a boner killer, totally.
Yeah, go find a different.
Off of, I don't know if you're familiar with Atlanta, but where the old Braves Stadium used to be, there's a artsy part of town that part of the art is that, all of the kind of liberal progressive artists mixed with just gunshots and rappers, and train noise. My lived there, my other friend who lived there, moved because she got two bullets stuck in her apartment wall in less than 2 weeks. And she's like, I got to get out of here.
Yeah.
And so that's the type of...
They could pray for gentrification and help that place out.
But it's Fulton County, though. So these are all people who see... not everybody, obviously, but this is where the support for Fannie Willis comes from. She's her white knight, and this is the demographic Black Knight. That what's his name? McAfee has to win to keep his job. It's just I hope he proves me wrong. I would love to be wrong about this, but I don't know that I would be.
Do you have any more? Do you want me to remove this from the screen, or do you have any more you want to
slide? Let me show you the Angela Davis. People like this document here. There's a couple of them. So you see right here, this is a congressional investigation, the DOD, and this is from the 60s.
So Angela Davis, she was a hardcore, I don't know if she was in the Panthers, but then she was professor. She was a professor, I think, in USC or UCLA, and she was hardcore.
First woman on the FBI's top 10 most wanted list. Not that I trust the FBI, but she was was she the driver, or what did she do when it came to that shooting? There was something that she was involved in that got her on the list. I think she was either the driver or she gave a gun to somebody who went into like a I don't know if it was a bank, but they shot somebody. And she didn't commit that crime, so she ended up getting off. But she was on the run, you know?
Yeah.
And she's on the run here. What this document is describing is Fannie Willis's father. It describes how he started a California chapter of the Black Panthers and how there was a conflict between who was in charge and how Angela Davis, who's an open communist, and when we're just talking about how she was his treasury and how this conflict led to him breaking off and just changing the name to the nonviolent action, whatever the fuck the John Lewis thing is. The SNCC is what the acronym is for it. But it says here, a bank account for the SNCC, which is the offshoot group, was opened February 26, 1968, with a deposit of $430, which that can get you a carton of eggs today. The account was at the Bank of Finance, and it was in the name of – it was opened by John Floyd, that's Fannie's dad, and Angela Davis. They had a bank account together.
Ah.
Which is, I mean, it's kind of wild. So yeah. Then you start thinking, so he's on the run here. They captured him, and they list off all of the things that he had on him when they caught him. And again, I'm not blaming anybody for being armed or for distrusting the government. I make that clear. But he's got some pretty interesting things that he had on. He had a copy of, let's start up here. Okay, so he had a couple guns on him and cartridge clips, 38 special. He had a 25-page pamphlet named the Black Power Manifesto. From a national conference on Black Power. He had a copy of resolutions passed at the first conference of the National Black Anti-War Anti-Draft Union. He had another automatic rifle. He had a book titled The Wretched of the Earth, which is a Negro psychoanalyst study of the problems of racism and colonialism in the world. He had a paperback book titled Malcolm X on Afro-American History. He had a book titled Guerrilla Warfare. He had another book, or he had a two-page listing of U.S. firms having subsidiary affiliates or branches in South America. The stop sheet states that 38 companies, which should be considered priority targets by his group. So they were targeting these groups is why he had that. They had a single sheet of paper with the heading, Can a Black Man Get a Fair Trial? That was put out by the Peace and Freedom Party. He had a copy of a book titled 150 Questions for the Guerrilla. He had another couple single sheets of paper about self-defense that was broken down into home communication strategy, which I have no problem with that there. He had another Malcolm X book. Then he had a guerrilla and counter-guerrilla warfare. He had the Black Liberation Now book, a 38-page booklet about the People's Republic of China titled "Whence the Difference?" I mean, this goes on for like three pages. We could read this for 2 hours, the shit he had on him. But they were arrested because they were staying at a black-run hotel in New Orleans, and they tore up the place, and they tried to skip out on paying their bill. And I'm going, why don't you stay at a fucking white hotel if you're going to do that?
Right.
Is her dad. This is why she's saying, I always keep cash on me because my daddy told me. This is why her fucking dad, he was running from the police all the time.
By the way, crack me up. You know, we mentioned here, he said that there was and he had to leave the house. She couldn't be there. It was too dangerous for her because he was staying at her house during this election. The N-word was put on his the house. Other things were, and he said this. I'm paraphrasing, but he had never seen something so dramatic. And I'm like, you were in the Black Panthers. You had also been in, I think, Somalia. Yeah, you had also been in like Somalia defending people. But this in Atlanta was the most
scary. Yeah. You know what he said, though, right? You know what was scarier to him than the N-word written on the side of his house? COVID. That's what she said. She said he was more scared.
Right. Which did say a lot.
And at one point, he was talking about that. He was lying. And I think it might have been Ashley that caught him, but he was talking about how the COVID shit scared him. But it was like it was before COVID.
She goes,
happened.
That's 2019.
Yeah, yeah.
And then he goes, I knew about it beforehand. And I'm like, and you didn't tell us? And all these people died? It's your fault.
If he were smart, he would have said, no, I saw event 201.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
That's what he should have said.
I just looked up Angela Davis real quick here to kind of refresh my memory. So in 1970, guns belonging to her were used in an armed takeover of a courtroom in Marin County, California, in which four people were killed, prosecuted for three federal capital felonies, including conspiracy to murder. She was held in jail for over a year, but before being acquitted on all charges in 1972. But yeah, she's a real piece of shit.
So yeah, total piece of shit. And I think this might be a good thing to go out here. This is a story I was telling you about from 2015 from California when Kamala Harris was there. This is why when she ran, I'm screaming at the top of my lungs. I did like four shows on this. I'm like, nobody is going to ask her about her former employee. And this guy worked directly for Kamala. I found a special report on truancy, which was her thing, you know, yes. Ending truancy, that she created a special committee to do this investigation on truancy. And the first person she thanked for his great work was this guy on the left here, or the right, the younger one, on truancy. Like, she thanked him personally. And the response, not from her, but from her office was, no, he was just like an aide or an underling. Not according to your own materials, he was not. And this guy, when he was asked by the investigator, did Kamala know what you were doing when you were pretending to be, or what they say pretending, to be a Mason who's descendant from the Knights Templar and has jurisdiction over all these police precincts? Did she know what you were doing, or what she say? And he goes, no, she knew exactly what we were doing, and she approved of it. And these guys were wearing police uniforms. Police cars were confiscated from their house. Guns and weapons were, and then their neighbors said they used to have these weird fucking parties all of the time at their house. And then there were some photos of what, I don't know, I can't verify what the photos are on this, but the images do match up with some of the people who were state legislators who had, shit. Their nipples were being twisted, and they had ball gags in their mouth, and it's yeah. Like weird ritual shit. I mean, it's wild, wild shit that at least you ask a question to Kamala about it if she's second in line or first in line to be the president. But no, some of the shit that they claimed, like, this is one of the guys. See this image here? This guy has photos of him wearing shit like this with Bill Clinton and just a slew of other politicians. I know you can, like, sneak up on people and get a picture taken, but if I see this dude walking towards me with a selfie cam, I'm going to be like, no fucking pictures right now, bro.
That's like a Wakanda outfit there or something.
Absolutely. And let me let you hear. This blows. I was watching this isn't his YouTube page, because I used to have his Google Plus page and all of these crazy ass images, but it's gone from the internet. Yeah. I do have a YouTube page of somebody who documented all of this shit, and I just want to show you some of the, like, what he said. Like, this happened right before he died. Shit. Right before he fucking died.
I'm not hearing it.
Oh, you can't hear it?
No. So I need to just share the tab.
Oh, right. Yeah. I love StreamYard. I do get confused by it, but I think it's much better than Zoom.
Yeah, it's a little bit better for this. Yeah. Here, let me add it. Sorry. Yeah.
Amelia Hernandez.
There you go.
Put a hit out on me. Grandmaster David Henry, Reverend Toned Hayes, and Brandon Keel.
That's Kamala's guy.
Please understand what you have done. I alerted everyone, from the President of the United States to the U.S. Attorney General Loretta Lynch and to California Attorney General Kamala Harris. I alerted everyone because they need to know the corruption of the Los Angeles Sheriff Department. Not all the deputies are bad, but just this particular group, Amelia Hernandez and her group.
I think she might be dead too.
Her clique. What I am saying is they threaten to kill us by pulling us over or detaining us and taking us to one of their locations and killing us. So this is what the sheriff department is doing.
The reason they did this is because they were going to sheriff departments saying that they are the Black Illuminati, the Freemasons, which he talked about in his other videos, and they were saying that we are trying to exercise control over your police precinct. And he's saying that this was the response.
How do we know this? Because we have members, Masonic members, who are LA sheriff deputies, and they've been there for a long time.
And that is what I found interesting that I didn't find interesting before. Masonic members who were sheriff deputies that were there for a long time, and I'm going, oh, my God. Fannie Willis just filled the Fulton County District Attorney's Office with nothing but people who are in the Divine Nine, Black fraternities and sororities that are the funnel to what is known as the Black Freemasons and Illuminati. And like this guy, I thought he was just full of shit, but he might have been telling the truth.
They have told us this. But what I'm saying is, this isn't good. So I notified everyone. I'm telling my members, my jurisdictions. I'm telling my Masonic orders. I'm telling the Illuminati. I'm telling the Knights Templars, not in the U.S., over in Mexico. I'm telling our gangbangers out there. Please understand your obligation and what my obligation was to you when you needed me. So now I need you, every one of you, to keep an eye out and keep your ears open because they are trying to kill us.
Okay, yeah, and he died the day before his, like a couple months later, he dropped dead of what they say was a pulmonary embolism before first trial date. And they got the other guy, they let Brandon Keel, who worked for Kamala, he got off on a technicality because they say that an officer violated a search warrant, so Kamala did him a solid, and he disappeared. In fact, I think he's a real estate agent, like in Miami or something now. It's the only thing I find about him. And what's ironic about it is of the three of them, there was a woman involved who was this guy's girlfriend or fiance. And she's the only one that served any prison time. The chick who the investigator said was just tagging along.
By the way, he mentioned L.A. Police Department. And you know, they have a rich history. You go back, I think, the 1940s, 1950s. They were as corrupt as any police department. And there's some movies about that kind of stuff. Yeah. So people can check that out. But that's fascinating. Okay. Anything you want to close with on – and by the way, as this goes on, I'm going to probably try to have you come back on. We'll talk about
it. I'd love to come back on. There's so much to talk about with this. I know I can be tangential. But so my closing thing with Fannie would be this.
By the way, it's Friday night. We do a loose show here. It's what it is. I've thoroughly enjoyed this. So by the way, it's perfectly fine. But it's going to continue. So we'll have you back for that.
Yeah, so I would say this. The only way that Fannie and these people get away with this corruption is they think they can do it so openly that people will just, you know, cower in their presence. We have to keep being loud as fuck and talking about this shit. And I want Fannie to be disqualified as well. But, like, the bait, the short clips, the stuff that makes us sound like we don't know what we're talking about, like the fucking admitting to campaign finance fraud. Let's stick with the fucking shit we know of it. She's corrupt enough as it is, and let's be loud about it, and let's keep talking about it, because if we do that, there's more of us than there is of them. And the actual article, the closing argument of this article from this black progressive organization that hates Fannie Willis, I think is actually pretty inspiring. These are not Trump people. This is where the common ground can be found. They end their article about how Fannie Willis has been holding innocent people with no evidence hostage while letting the guilty people walk free. And these are black women. And this is why this publication is angry about it. It says here, the last paragraph of the Black Agenda Report, it says, Willis is now in the news as the person who charged Donald Trump and 18 other people in a 41-count indictment, charging them with a conspiracy meant to overturn the 2020 election. But she and other prosecutors must be scrutinized. One must always assume that defendants are being overcharged. Like, that's crazy to me, you know? That's great that they said that. And then and that the RICO statute is being misused, that the state can act with, and that the RICO Act is being misused so that the state can act with nefarious intent. And then it says all skin folks aren't kin folks, talking about Fannie, and the prosecution of black Atlanta educators is Exhibit A, which proves the case. So a common ground is that Fannie is not your fucking black, white, whatever knight. She actually is fucking awful to black people as well, and we should all unite against her.
By the way, the overcharging is a big problem, because what you can do then, you 41 counts, I mean, that is just... that's absurd, right? And I don't know if it's because of different counties. So they say each county is a charge and then there are multiple things. Who knows? You probably do, actually. But when you overcharge them, then it's so overwhelming that they take plea deals. You know, that's kind of the idea.
That's what they do, man. It's fucked up, man.
Yeah, it's very fucked up. This has been great. It's thoroughly enjoyed.
Yeah, it's been a lot of fun, man.
So tell everybody once again where they can find you, what you've got going on, And because I want to make sure people, you know, part of my show is it's for autistic people to find those stars out there in the libertarian world. I love to pump up other good shows. And you've been one that I've enjoyed for quite some time. So tell people where they can find you. And the people that came here just to see you, but they found my show. Thank you. And stay, you know, click the everything button. Yeah. Anyway, go ahead.
So I host the Propaganda Report podcast. You can find it wherever you get your podcast. My website is propagandafight.com. On Twitter or X, I am at Freedom Act Radio. YouTube.com/Brad Binkley. Rumble.com/The Prop Report. And I Patreon, I do Patreon Propaganda Reports. I do extra content when I can. Once I get settled into my new place, I'll be doing extra content. Like I'm going to be start doing writing exercises, creative exercises like that. I have people come on, play fake Trump. We're bringing a Biden on to play a Biden character. We're trying to mix like revealing the truth with mocking their bullshit. And you got to have fun with it. And so that's what I try to do. And check me out wherever. Thanks for having me on. It's been a lot of fun. I know that I've rambled a lot.
No, this is great. You know how much easier it is for a host when you have someone that can talk. And it's interesting. We've had a lot of people. Once again, thank you, JC, for setting this up, for making this. I come into my, noticing this. Anyway, thank you, everybody. Share the show. Do all that kind of stupid stuff. And we'll see you again next week. I'm going to have an outro that's a little bit extra long. You can stay for it, Brad, or you can take off. But thank you. All right. Thanks, everybody.
Okay, I'm leaving now, bye guys.
But she's back.
And now.
Chick-fil-A is completely overrated. It's not that good. I prefer Zaxby's. I prefer Popeyes.
Takes a tough man to make a tender forecast, Nick. And I guess that's me. Keep fucking that chicken.
Should I vote for Dick Cheney on the Libertarian Party? Do I have an obligation to vote for Dick Cheney?
I would say so.
Yes.
Did it work for those people?
No, it never does. I mean, these people somehow delude themselves into thinking it might, but... But it might work for us.
That one dude was like, not a podcast. I can't find it anywhere. They don't have video.
Oh, yeah. Peter Janky. Yeah.
I blocked him.
I'll do it. If he unblocks me,
he'll buy your shirt if you unblock him, Bert.
He's a wigger.
Yeah. Nothing cooler than a 49-year-old wigger. Like,
I just started live streaming. Cut me some slack. I'm pretty high tech for a boomer. But anyways.
Boomer.